Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. I must apologise about the delay. I did have a guest lined up for this programme, but unfortunately the one number that I had appears to be the number of the institute that she runs, the Repatterning Institute, and although I emailed her a short while ago asking if there was another landline number to phone, I'm afraid I haven't had a reply, but we did give her the studio number also to connect with if there were any problems, and that hasn't been used, so I'm totally in the dark as to what has gone wrong. So what I'm going to do is give you some information about some research I did regarding various predictions for this year, researching it through different other channel communications from other people, obviously, and in one case, an individual's opinion based on their own way of looking at the future. It's pretty obvious, I guess, that 2009 is a year of change, and that does come over very strongly in the various channelings that I've had, although, strangely enough, each person that's channeling entities such as Archangel Michael, Metatron, Archangel Gabriel, Uriel, Kutumi, who I would say in their own way are quite well-known sources for information, all seem to have their own particular emphasis that they want to put over as to what they think is important for this year. Person I particularly like for reading his messages is Cryon. Through his channel, there have been, I think, something like about 10 or 11 books written, and he calls himself the Magnetic Master, and Cryon is in his own way the channeler, I think, of very magnetic words. You read his books and it really does sort of stick to you. Now, he says this year is the magnetic year, and it will be a year of decision. He calls it a split year, also an aggressive year, and he said it will be a year full of contradictions, and it will also be a year of contrast, but above all, he calls it a magnetic year. Now, in explanation of that, he says that the magnetic energy is the new energy, and it is needed in order to fetch the planet back into the magnetic divine fields. And he went on to say that your brain will change and your nerves will change. Now, the logical thing to do to qualify that would obviously be to read the message, but I think that would take a fair time. And I'd like to cover the main points of the other channeling that I checked. So I'll move on from that, but that is the crux of the message from Cryon. Now, Archangel Michael, particularly when I think he's at his best when channeled through Rona Herman, he does in fact have, to my counting, about half a dozen different people that channel his material, but Rona Herman's been doing it for many years, and there seems to be, I don't know why, a different quality, a different energy in the messages when she does it. I've got one here where he said, and I quote, "Now is the time for each one of us to embrace our master energy and to accept only what feels right to us in our hearts. And the time has come for divine intervention." And he says, "If you believe that you must live in poverty and chaos, that will be reinforced and magnified in your life. If you have accepted the truth that you are entitled to a life of beauty, joy and prosperity, that reality will unfold before you." Now, I interject there and say that for listeners who might not have come to this conclusion already, that he is obviously referring to the law of attraction. I've always found that a rather strange concept until you get used to the idea that You can be thinking of something you don't want, let's say in the case of health. Some people do have a rather strong fear, say, of getting cancer, and it maybe plays on their mind. I mean, perhaps they have some reasons because it's running the family or something like that. But the problem with that is the more you think of something, whether you want it or not in that case, you are attracting that energy to yourselves. So I find that rather odd one, but it's true. It is the law of attraction. Anyway, Archangel Michael went on to say, if you have accepted the truth that you are entitled to a life of beauty, joy and prosperity, that will unfold before you. And of course, this is really, to my mind, what people who aspire to ascend in the coming years, the peak being 2012, will achieve for themselves. Ascension, to my mind, is the achievement of those particular beliefs. It's sad, really, that over, I guess, centuries of time and many lives that we spent on the planet, that we have acquired this subconscious feeling that we somehow have to live in poverty, that we're not entitled to live in comparative wealth and have the things we need. And indeed, in a lot of countries, that is the reality. But the truth is that we are entitled to have the basis of a pleasant, joyful, happy life, to live in freedom, and not be assaulted, if you like, by the various means and ways that the dark forces have controlled us on this planet. Of course, that is all unfolding now, and the light has reached levels where it is manifesting a new reality, which we can put under the heading of ascension. So I can see, really, reading between the lines there, what Archangel Michael is getting at. Now, he goes on to say, these are times of great change, as if we didn't know it, whereby you may have many challenges, but you will also be presented with many opportunities. Your conscious mind is in the process of receiving the vaster wisdom of your higher superconscious mind. And he says, advice here that's often been given in channeling, including my own, trust your intuition, trust your inner guidance. If the thoughts that come to you are inspiring, loving and wisdom-filled, then you know you're tapping into the wisdom of your higher self and your angelic guides. I'll certainly go along with that one. And I guess at times we tend to forget that when we do have problems or we're trying to ascertain the truth of something that comes into our mind, we don't always realise that the intuitive side that we listen to is sometimes our very guides that are speaking to us. So be guided by your intuition, I suppose that is the message there. It is a year when the energy is increasing quite substantially. That is the higher energy. And of course, from outside of this solar system, even from the central sun, there are higher energies being beamed to the earth for the very purpose of helping the ascension to manifest. Now, I move on to, these are all notes, incidentally, taken from obviously much larger messages, but they're all the crux of the comments, really, which I wanted for my talk. Now, there is the Council of 12, and they have said there will be an accelerated momentum of the transformational shifting that has been underway for a very long time, and it will be both global and personal. And the shifting will eventually lead to a radical reshaping of many worn-out structures and the ways of being in your world. And they say that 2009 and the several years that follow will be times of reconfiguration. This relates to human society rearranging itself. The challenges being faced are too complex and wide to be resolved with yesterday's methods. And this is true for both individuals and society as a whole. Institutions based on the old paradigm approaches will either fade away or be reconfigured to match the new energies. They go on to say that outmoded codes of human behaviour, elite power bases and the allocation of resources will be challenged and changed by those who carry an awakening consciousness, and every aspect of life and living as you now know it will be impacted. The changes will reconfigure your outer world, and more importantly, they will reshape your inner world and how you experience the human condition. So that was the extract I made from the Council of 12. And within those extracts, it's quite clear to see that there is reference to what we are right in the middle of now, and that is the complete collapse of the financial system. And of course, the Council of 12 are telling us that you can't go back to the old paradigm, the outmoded codes of human behaviour, elite power bases and so forth. And we're certainly slap bang in the middle of those changes, which appear, on the face of it, not to have completely bottomed out yet. Saying that the several years that follow this will be times of reconfiguration. But with ascension in mind, and bearing also in mind what other channels have said about the changes that are due, I think we can take that for granted, that there is going to be a lot of reconfiguration, and that will touch a lot of different areas, such as the type of energy we use, bearing in mind there is a lot of free energy that we can tap, which of course can change our concept of how we use transportation. It will eliminate pollution because it will become the energy to use, and things like fossil fuels will just become obsolete. So at a stroke, by changing the form of energy we use, we can also help to put a stop to any further pollution of the planet. And with some of the new inventions that have been deliberately kept from our sight, hidden away, once these are released, we can also get on with clearing the pollution that already exists on the planet. The Council of 12 also spoke of outmoded codes of human behaviour, and I guess you can put our aggressive nature in that category. Spirit have often said that basically we are benign people. We really do love to be at peace. We just love to be happy and joyful and at one with our neighbours. But of course, over hundreds of years, with the power of the dark forces or their influence, we've been led to believe that we are the warrior type humans, and we've been all too ready, I guess, to go to war with our neighbours, different countries or whatever, often on the pretext of fighting some enemy, when the truth is often that the people in power really have their eyes set on somebody else's land and their resources. But because our consciousness is rising and we're becoming more aware of our true potential, I think that we now see what we're entitled to by divine right, and this is what we're really demanding, and by seeing that vision in the near future, we're hoping to create it. Now, there's another source that I've always found very reliable and very uplifting, and that is the channeled source of Metatron, and he's saying this will be a new year of partnership, mentioning that many of us have been on a solitary journey without a kindred spirit life partner, or in a karmic completion relationship. And he said some of those, in fact, were completed in 2008. In this particular article, he rather sort of balanced the two. He referred to 2008 and then what would change in 2009. And he said this transition into new partnership beginnings will manifest for many in 2009. The harmonic of 2009 will offer the ability to manifest the life you came to live with a partner who is a true seeking spirit, someone whose vibration will match your own and someone to share your life with in a sacred union. So this is a year of review and action. He said, Masters, in 2009 there are frequential keys available to help humanity ascend to consciousness levels of greater clarity, to shift into rarefied awareness above the duality chaos of 3D, even whilst the pace of life continues to quicken. So we have this reference again to our ascending consciousness and the fact that it's going to carry us forward. That's the first time I've actually read any article commenting on this being a year of partnership. I've certainly seen reference to a lot more people becoming aware and coming into the light through the lifting up of their consciousness. Perhaps that's part of it. Now, there's a lady who's quite well known in her own way, Doreen Virtue. I didn't make a note of really what her background was, but I recognise her name as being someone who is well respected in her views. And she says that 2009 will present many opportunities for growth, especially in the beginning of the year, and that some might face challenges along the same lines as experienced in 2008, and many will be pushed into changing their lives. And she says, if you are ready to heal, leave, or replace an unhealthy situation, now is the time, and the angels will lend ample support and allow for surprising solutions to occur, and notice your intuitive guidance, including signs from above. So please let go and let God. 2009 opportunities are springboards for you to leap into the changes that you've been dreaming about. It is a year to take chance and risk and to truly follow your own inner guidance, even if others don't understand or agree. She said, overall, 2009 is an important year, positively life-altering and a meaningful year. I think that is the end of that article. I'm looking for my other sheet. It's got the continuation. I've got about six sheets on my desktop here at the moment. Now, that seems to be the end of that bit. Now, you see, again, Doreen Virtue is talking about relying on your intuitive guidance, and this comes up so many times. There's a problem, I guess, for some people, because there is, in some ways, a fight between your ego and your intuitive guidance. Your ego is probably your more, if you like, human self, and has been built up by experiences of what you like more than maybe what you need. So your intuitive guidance may often say, don't do what you had in mind, do something different, maybe something that's spiritually based. So you have to be aware not to take your ego as being your intuition. But I suppose at the end of the day, if you particularly want to do something one way, then you're not, I guess, going to take too much notice of your intuition. But there you are. It's a reminder of what you perhaps need to do there. Now, Adama is an inner earth being who has written also about this coming year. And what he said is that great changes are on the horizon, and this year is the final phase of our preparations for ascension. You notice in channeling there invariably is reference to ascension. I shouldn't think there's anyone who believes in the truthfulness of channeling who isn't aware now that ascension is just a few years away, at least for those who aspire to it. That great changes are on the horizon. In that event, I should think, is fairly apparent. Certainly a lot has to happen before we can actually reach that point where we probably lift up through the fourth into the fourth come fifth dimension. Saying it is the final phase of preparation might suggest that there's nothing more to do after this year, but I don't believe it actually means that. Hello? Yeah? Hello?
I'm here.
Yes.
Who's this?
What can I do?
Who is... This is Chloe, yeah?
I can't hear you very well.
Can you hear me better now?
Oh, that's better, yes.
Okay, a little closer. Is this Michael Quincy?
Yes, indeed.
Good to hear your voice.
I didn't hear you announce. You'll have to tell me who you are.
Okay, my name is Chloe Wordsworth, and I am...
Oh, you are, right, okay.
...developed resonance repatterning.
Right, okay, fine. I'm glad you made it. I won't waste your time asking you what happened or how it occurred, but we've got at least a full half hour.
Yes.
So, welcome to the program now you're here.
Well, thank you.
we'll get straight into it.
Yes.
What I wanted to ask you initially was you had some experiences when you were younger, in the 40s, when your parents set up a community, and one has to feel that that very much influenced your decision to do the work you're doing now. So tell us a little bit about that background and how it sort of affected you.
Well, I had a very, very interesting upbringing. My father was an educator and philosopher and writer and teacher and many things, and way back in the 40s, he believed in a whole different way of educating children. And also they had an organic farm attached to the community that he created, and they believed in alternative healing systems. None of us were vaccinated, and we could choose whether we wanted to be vegetarians or meat eaters, and they just had a very, very different way of bringing children into this world so that they could develop their full potential and be who they are. And they were very interested in healing of all kinds. So I was brought up with all the alternative healing systems way back in the 40s, which was pretty young. And
absolutely, yes.
Yes, and so, you know, then my life just continued on from there with this fascination with healing and what is a common denominator that allows people to create change within themselves and in their life and in their relationships.
Yes. What I thought was interesting in the notes you made about that period of time was that the children there were perfectly healthy, unlike today. They didn't need vaccinations or things of that nature. But there was something, some message, I think, that came out very strongly about that type of community as to what a really healthy living style it was.
That's right. That's right. You know, and that health is on all levels. That, again, with quantum physics, the way... You know, they've confirmed that we are energy beings. And so there's no difference between the body as a vibrating field, is a very dense energy, and the emotions is a more highly vibrating energy, and the mind is yet more highly vibrating. But if our field becomes non-coherent, is out of sync, then the thoughts have an immediate impact on the lower frequency of the body, because it's all energy, it's all frequency. And the feelings we have an immediate impact on the way we think and our body. So we've been used to separating ourselves into body, emotions, mind. And what we're realizing is that we are all one being in a limitless field of energy frequencies. And what we think has an enormous impact on how we feel about our life and ourselves and our health, of course, and the kind of relationships we have. So resonance repatterning is a system that really helps.
Chloe, I'm having a little difficulty in hearing you. I can just about make out what you're saying, so I don't know if you can make any adjustment. Yeah, that sounds a bit better. Fine. Now, because you've come in all of a sudden, I overlooked to announce who you were, in the sense that I must tell our listeners that you are the founder of the Resonance Repatterning Institute, and you teach people to generate the resonance of quantum change for themselves,
their friends
and family, which I believe you refer to as self-mastery. Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned, just for people who wonder what it is, that it's also known as holographic repatterning. So the obvious question now is to ask you, what is it?
Yes. And basically, the first name I called it way back in the 90s was holographic repatterning. And then in 2006, we decided to change the name to resonance, because holographic is difficult enough, but resonance is really what we do. So yes, resonance repatterning is a method that makes it possible to create extraordinary change in your life, whether you're a child who needs help learning math or making friends, or whether you have health problems or professional problems or relationship problems or depression or suicidal tendencies. It is a system that allows you to get to the nitty-gritty of what is underneath these problems. What are the unconscious patterns that are causing us to have these kinds of problems in our life? And it lets you change them, and you experience tremendous change in your life.
Yes. What is it that makes you believe so passionately that this type of treatment is ideal for the type of conditions you've mentioned? Because that covers quite a range of problems, doesn't it?
Well, it's an infinite range of problems. I mean, that's the exciting thing. And again, I think it comes back to, we're in a new age where quantum physics then has proven that we live in a sea of energy. And this physical matter of our body is itself vibrating energy. So it's, the question is now, what are we downloading from this energy field of limitless possibilities? So for the physicists, they discovered that what they observe or focus on is what materializes out of this field of limitless possibilities. It's all energy. Now, in resonance repatterning, I realized that what we focus on depends on the beliefs and feelings and patterns that we resonate with. So if we are manifesting problems, depression, anger, fear in our life, it's because we resonate with these states. And our resonance attracts this state from the limitless field of energy. So that's why you can take any problem that we may have, is simply letting us know that we are resonating with that frequency, and we're attracting that frequency from this limitless field of energy that quantum physicists talk about. So we're very much aligned with this new thinking that is coming out of quantum physics.
Yes, well, you've said, of course, and I totally agree, that we are energy beings, so it would follow that the right approach to putting problems right would be to correct the energy levels. You talk in terms, do you not, also of treating like the whole energy system, which some people call the chakras.
Yes, so the chakras, we've got two great energy systems on our planet, and one of which, of course, is the chakra system. And then we've also got the meridian five-element system of Chinese acupuncture. And repatterning, we look at both of those energy systems. Both of them, they have similarities and they have great differences, but they had an understanding all those thousands of years ago that it body, mind, emotions, spirit, all this field of energy, that's where we need to go to balance and harmonize the energy system to handle any problem we may have in our life.
Yes. You read at one time a book about epigenetics, and you said told you that science shows how our genes are turned on or off, and are activated or remain dormant according to the thoughts we have, etc., etc. So you said, in other words, that shows how our genes respond to the frequencies we resonate with. And the point I'm coming to is, you said that we are not, therefore, locked into fixed cellular responses.
Well, it's very exciting, isn't it? You know, the old paradigm is that we're locked into these inherited fixed genetic code.
Yes.
It's in my genes. And the very exciting research is shown that genes cannot turn themselves on and off. They can't do it. That there's something in the environment, either within us or outside, has to trigger gene activity. So this again comes down to resonance, and that it's our thoughts and feelings and actions that will activate or not activate certain genes. Well, then, of course, what we've also got unconscious thoughts and feelings, things that we're not even aware of. So it comes back down to frequencies, the frequencies we resonate with will determine the kind of thoughts and feelings that we attract out of the field of limitless possibilities of energy, which in turn is going to activate certain genes or constrict the whole DNA code. I mean, they've actually found that fear constricts the DNA code, so it coils up, and it even turns off certain codes so that fewer aspects of our blueprint are available for activation. So fear, many people aren't even aware that they have fear. It can be an unconscious thing that we resonate with. And we found in resonance repatterning that when people change their resonance with fear or with anger, that their health changes, their thinking changes, and clearly they are activating different genes.
You do get people that have, say, personality problems who will probably say, I can't help being what I am. I was born that way. But what you're saying is that isn't entirely true.
Absolutely. It's all about the point of choice, the point of conscious choice. Do I want to choose, and am I ready for something instead of my problems? And in resonance repatterning, we move people and ourselves constantly into this point of choice. I mean, for instance, the other day, like tomorrow, I'm leaving for India, and I've got a book to finish editing and various other things I have to do, and I was going into slight overwhelm. So immediately, I checked that I was resonating with being overwhelmed and feeling time-pressured, and then I shifted my resonance with that. So I resonated with being calm and having plenty of time and stretching time. And immediately it was like I started getting everything I needed to get done, was full of energy, feeling very cheerful. And it was simply in that point of choice, I chose to be coherent rather than non-coherent. And as soon as I shifted that resonance, bingo, I felt very different. And it's the same thing for other people.
Well, that's certainly proof for yourself, isn't it, of the power of thought, I suppose, is really what you would say, isn't it?
That's right.
What actually happens when our frequencies are out of synchronization? I mean, what actually occurs within our body or our mind or whatever?
Well, nature works well when our energies are synchronized. So, for instance, if you put a pendulum clock on the wall and then put another few other pendulum clocks on a wall, and they're all swinging out of sync, within about 20 minutes, all the pendulum clocks will swing in sync with each other. So when our energy frequencies, these cycles of vibration, when they're synchronized, we have more energy, more health, more love, more joy, more well-being on all levels, and the same thing in our relationships, the same thing in our businesses. So when our frequencies are out of sync, we're going to see that, we can see it nationally, where everything feels like it's out of sync. There are problems, there are troubles, there are people out of work, there are people who are suffering. That as our frequencies come into sync within ourselves and with other people, relationships improve, and there's a sense of well-being for everybody in the community, not just ourselves.
When you're saying that, it reminds me of something I've read about your work, where you talk also not just of healing ourselves, but also the earth.
Yes, that's right. Because you know, you were talking about the chakras. The earth chakra is the body. It's living on this earth. It's how we receive the abundance of this earth and everything this earth experience has to offer us. But it's also how we respond to this earth. So when someone's earth chakra is very wounded, its frequencies are out of sync, then you'll have people who, quote, rape the earth. They take everything they want. There's greed, there's fear. They have no concern. They will have businesses that hurt other people, that cause ill health, because their only concern is making money. Or they'll take what they want from the earth without giving back to the earth. But this is all earth chakra energy field stuff, that when the frequencies are out of sync, depending on where they're out of sync, in which chakra, which meridian, you will see the effect personally on our own sense of health and well-being, but you'll also see it in terms of how we respond out there to other people and to our earth.
Right. I notice also in your writings that you refer not only to the body and mind, but also spirit, and you also say that our problems have a higher purpose for our evolution. What did you have in mind when you said that?
Well, you know, a problem simply tells us that our frequencies are non-coherent, that there's a splitting apart, there's a disharmony within our system. So it's, you know, like the red light in the car. In itself, the system is like, we don't want to judge a problem as being bad. A red light is not bad. It's simply telling us that something is off in our engine. And the same way, the problems are telling us that something is off in our body, emotions, mind system. And that if we reharmonize ourselves, if we can now identify the unconscious pattern that is causing this energy disharmony, is causing us to attract negative relationships into our life or attract negative experiences into our life, when we correct that unconscious pattern usually from infancy, even in the womb, then there's an expansion of our field. The field comes into harmony and we can begin to manifest our potential and experience the extraordinary in our life. So it's about constantly opening ourselves to more and more coherence, more and more well-being, more and more love. There's an infinite amount. Spirit is about love. It's about joy. It's about harmony, well-being, manifesting our potential. So isn't that what we want to attract from the field of limitless possibilities? And to do that, we need to face the little tiny problems that occur in our life are constantly giving us opportunities for becoming more coherent. So it's kind of a path of inner cultivation, you could say, of each problem is an opportunity for evolution, of allowing more and more of spirit to flow through, manifest through our mind, through our thinking, through our feelings, through our body.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find it very exciting.
Oh, yes. Right. Now, you say that through repatterning, you combine it apparently with healing modalities like sound, color, light, movement, breath, energetic contacts, and fragrance. That's quite a range of different types of healing. Do you actually match the healing to the condition that the person's got?
Well, as I spent 30 years studying many, many different healing modalities, and they're all wonderful. But I always questioned, how do you know which modality is needed and for what?
Yes.
And how do I know that I need a chakra balance rather than an acupuncture point or whatever? So what I realized is that all the modalities are unique vibrations. They're unique energy wavelengths, you could say, specific frequencies. So, for instance, one of our modalities is what we call color your world glasses, where you may need to have a pink lens over your left eye and a green lens over your right eye. It's a very specific frequency that impacts the brain and the body and the whole energy field. But movement is also a frequency and an energy contact or a breath or a sound. They're all these wavelengths of frequency. So in resonance repatterning, then, we identify the negative pattern that we're resonating with, and we resonate, and we can check for the actual positive pattern that we need to resonate with, and then we can check for the exact modality that will input the energy to harmonize our whole system. So we no longer resonate with the negative, and we do resonate with the positive. Then we can attract the positive from the field of limitless possibilities. But it's first of all, you identify the pattern, and then you can muscle check for the exact frequency of the modality that will shift that resonance on through.
Right.
And by the way, I've written a modality book that's always been available for those people who take our seminars, but in May, I'm going to actually make this self-healing modality book available for anybody in the general public. They can just go our website at resonancerepatterning.net if they're interested in using that.
Fine. Now, what you've just spoken about, is that what you call activating the utopia gene?
Well, the utopia dream, the utopia gene for me is that there is an inherent desire to improve ourselves. We want to be better. We want to improve our life. And that is, it's almost like nature's imperative wants us to be better in some way. Now, if we are non-coherent, the trouble with that is that we will tend to do it through crime. But even crime is an attempt to improve their lifestyle, isn't it? But it's just a non-coherent way of doing that. People who take drugs, they want to feel better. But it's a non-coherent way of doing it that could end them up in prison or could end them up with coma and death and illness and all sorts of other things. So, but it's the same, that inner urge to improve ourselves and our life and have purpose and meaning and better relationships, it's there within all of us. So it's what I call the point of choice. So I would kind of jokingly call it the utopia gene. I think there was an article called The Utopia Gene. Is there a utopia gene? And then I wrote an article saying, yes, you know, what is that utopia gene? It is the desire to be better, to manifest who we are in our full human potential. And resonance repatterning then, of course, gives us a system that allows us to do that in a very practical, day-by-day way with ourselves and our children and our husband and our wife and in our work situation and so on.
And all of this is covered in your book, Quantum Change Made Easy.
Yes, well, in the Quantum Change Made Easy, that's my first, I've written 12 books, which usually I give to people in the seminars. But Quantum Change Made Easy was my first book to the general public, where I just wanted to give people the basic understanding of these 9 principles that allow us to create easy change in our life and to really cultivate the power of who we are. And then at the end of each of these principles or keys, there are little exercises that people can do even without taking any seminar. They can begin to apply this in simple ways in their life, but quite powerful ways. And then if they want more, of course, then they would need to, you know, take the seminars or whatever.
Right. Now, are you still doing your radio show? You do a weekly one, I believe?
That's right. Living in Tune. I've done 52 of these radio shows where I talk about a different theme each week. In terms of mastering time or manifesting the power of who you are or whatever. And then I actually do a repatterning on somebody who phones in live. And I've also got some amazing interviews with people who are really at the cutting edge of the health field. And I'm going to take a rest from doing more, but they resonancerepatterning.net, you can go to our website and listen to all the archive copies of anything that you want to listen to, you can listen to it, you can download it to your own website, you can get the transcript and so on.
That's very good, yes. And you also have, or rather, let me just check this. Your radio program website, is that still Modavox?
You know, it's not going to be anymore. At the moment,
it is.
But once I finish the 52, I think I'm coming up to the last ones in April. Then they'll all be on our website, resonancerepatterning.net.
Okay. Yeah. So I wanted to check that because when I do the archives report, I like to put in any links for our guests so that
wonderful.
If anyone missed it, listening to it, and they're on the internet, they can actually check it out. So that's
yes.
fine.
Yes, is
your book readily available from
yes,
you or Amazon?
Yes, you can
Amazon,
get it
or?
Through our resonancerepatterning.net website, through our e-store. You can also get it through Amazon.com. And
yeah.
those are probably the easiest places for people to get it.
Okay. That's fine. Now, there's one thing in resonance repatterning that I haven't asked you about, but what is this aspect of muscle testing?
Yes. So this is a very, very, very fascinating. And basically, we are all a feedback system, and that's how we've survived for millions of years as a species. So, for instance, if you go down to the beach on a sunny day, the first thing you'll do is take a deep breath and stretch yourself, and you'll look up at the sky, and you'll want to walk and run and relax. And that's your feedback saying that being at the beach on a sunny day is good for you. Now, if you got out of your car into the bitter cold, immediately your feedback system will change. Your breathing will slow down, you'll contract, you'll hold your shoulders and your chest in, you'll start shivering.
Yeah.
And that feedback system is letting you know that, hey, you better get warm, otherwise you're not going to survive in this bitter cold.
Yes, yes.
So basically, what we do is our body knows what is good for us, and it supports health and well-being. And it also knows what is not good for us. So how does our body know this? It's the autonomic nervous system controls 90% of our functioning. So we don't have to think about our heart beating to get it to beat. We don't have to think about breathing or digestion.
Mm.
It's the autonomic nervous system is doing everything, and it does everything through our muscles. So we breathe through our muscles. Our heart is a muscle. A digestion is muscles. And so basically, we can use our muscles, the on or strong response of a muscle or the relaxed response of a muscle, to connect to our autonomic nervous system, which knows what we need for our survival and for our health and for our well-being. The autonomic nervous system, by the way, is also connected to the field of energy. And it's connected to this inner environment of our whole body, the DNA, the cells, the tissues. And so by using the muscles, we can actually now the on response and the off response, we can use it to access what we need through the autonomic nervous system. And we can also use this on-off of the muscles to find out what we resonate with. So, yes, in resonance repatterning, that is the tool we use for finding out what you're resonating with, what you're not resonating with, what is the pattern that underlies this problem that you've got, and what is the modality you need that will shift and change it. And then we can confirm that that change has happened at the end of the session, and then people go out and they feel different. They feel better. You know, sometimes very dramatically, there can be enormous changes in their health or their relationship.
Right. That tells me, incidentally, that when we get stressed up and we create a tightness in our muscles, that is why our body doesn't function as well.
That's exactly it. And you can see that if your muscles go into tension, your frequencies have become non-coherent. And then, of course, if it's your tension because it's fear, it even constricts your DNA. The DNA coils up, and it will turn off certain codes. Whereas when you open, the way you do when you're at the beach or when you love somebody, literally the DNA, they found, lengthens, and its strands uncoil, and it exposes more of our genetic code for activation. So again, in resonance repatterning, it's always this opening up that we are supporting by becoming more and more coherent at every possibility.
Fine. I'm afraid our short time has actually finished now, and I have about a minute or so left to announce my next guest.
Wonderful.
So thank you very much for coming on.
Well, thank you. I think we got a lot covered, so thank you, Michael.
Well, I was just going to say that. I think we've done pretty well, really.
Yes.
So, hello, Dom? Oh, so I thought Dom was having
you.
A word.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome, and I think maybe in the very near future I'll have to have you back again, and I had a whole ream of other questions to ask.
That's
you.
Right. Well, you're a good questioner, and I'd be delighted to come back.
Good, that's fine. Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I'll announce for our listeners that next week I've got a return visit from Caroline Corey. It wasn't very many months ago that she came on. She is a teacher of consciousness studies, spirituality, and metaphysics, and she's also the founder of the Omnium method, which is a new and original healing technique that allows spontaneous alignment of your energy field with the universal consciousness. So that's all I'm going to say about that one. Thank you for being with me. Hope you enjoyed it, nevertheless, and I hope you can be with me next week. God bless you all.